Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible, get it, stand to your feet. 1 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read verses 14 through 16. And then we're going to talk about it for just a little bit. It says in Paul's letter to his spiritual son, Timothy, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory." Let's pray. Father, I ask that today you would help me to rightly divide the word of truth. I pray that you would give ears to the hear, that we would not just hear the word, but we would also do the word, God. I thank you for the solid foundation that you have given us that came by word of the apostle and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Help us to build upon it today and help us to live lives that bring glory and honor to you. I pray that this word would be effective in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. We're going to continue in our series, These Things, as we read at the beginning of this passage, "These Things I Write to You." And here we are 4 weeks into the series. You realize this is our fourth week in the series. Time flies when you're having fun. I don't know about y'all, but I'm having fun. And here we are 4 weeks, and we haven't even covered three verses in this passage. We're going to be almost halfway through the third verse today. But that should tell you how much power is in the Word of God. How much power is in the Bible that here we are, we've been talking for 4 weeks and we haven't even got three verses covered in the Word of God, because it's not just a manuscript, it's a manual. And maybe you've heard that before, that the Word of God, it's the manual for life. It's the manual that God gave us. It was basic instructions before leaving earth. It's the Bible that He gave us and that He has taught us with. But a manual, I love this because I looked it up, because as the Lord spoke that to me, I started thinking about how the Bible is not a manuscript, but it's a manual that is used to instruct us in our life. Here's what a manual is. It's a book of instruction for operating a machine. Listen, you are the machine, and the Bible, it's the Word of God, which is both alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce between bone and marrow, soul and spirit, and it's a discerner of your thoughts and the intents of your heart. So it's a manual that shows you how to operate this machine, because what life is it's figuring out, how do I operate this machine that God has given me? This, because in this machine, there's a brain, there's a heart, there's feelings, there's emotions, and really all we're trying to do in life is figure out, how do I properly manage this life that God has given me? And it's only in the Word of God that we can find the proper instruction and the manual to show us, this is how we ought to live our life. He gave it to us as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You need to, if you don't right now read the Bible on your own for yourself, you are missing out. I'm not saying you won't go to heaven, because I don't think God's up there going, they got a gold star, they read their Bible today. But I'm telling you, the Bible, it's not, there's nothing in here that necessarily says you have to read the Bible to go to heaven. But I'll tell you this, if you don't read the instructions in the manual, you won't know how to operate the machine. And if you don't know how to operate the machine, you'll end up it breaking down and it being in trouble. But it's a gift to us. You need to read the Word of God for yourself. You need to be taught the Word of God by a man or woman of God who is skilled in rightly dividing the Word of truth. And you also need the Holy Spirit to help you live it out. So let's look at the Word this morning. Last week we discussed the importance of that must be placed on the believer's life on godliness, which is holiness, and we also defined as the inward response to the things of God, how important that is that we be godly, that we be holy. But this hymn or this creed that was penned by the Apostle Paul, it unmasks the mystery that allows us to be welcomed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, how we can be holy, how we can be godly, how we can be like him through the knowledge of his life. Because really, this hymn, this manifesto, this creed, it is God was manifested in flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on the world, and received up in glory. What that is that six lines of the life of Jesus Christ, and is giving us a glimpse into it so that we can better know the mystery of godliness. 2 weeks ago, we discussed the manifestation of the flesh, Jesus Christ being incarnate in the flesh by virgin birth, and birthed as a man, fully aware of our sufferings and our grief and our temptations. And we also talked about how he was justified in the Holy Spirit through his resurrection, that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can quicken our mortal bodies. But today, I want to focus on the third line of this stanza, seen by angels. Now, the Bible is full of angelic encounters throughout the Old and the New Testament. In fact, if you read the Bible and you've read any amount of scripture, or maybe you've read through the Bible in the year, maybe you've read every book in the Bible, maybe you've just read some of it. If you have read the Bible, there's a good chance that you have encountered in your Bible reading angelic visitations. God sending an angel to earth to deliver a message or to carry something out. And we see it. It's all throughout the Bible. But it's amazing to me that in our Christian life today, we don't talk about angels. We don't think about angels, and we don't think that we see angels. We live without, most people live their life without ever being aware of the fact that angels are real and angels are present. And so today I want to talk to you about angels, because if it's in the Bible, I believe it. I believe that if he sent angels to people in the Bible, he can still send angels to your life and to my life today to instruct us and guide us and protect us and help us. So I want today basically to unpack this scripture and make you aware of angelic presence in your life. Now, we have to be careful with this, because so many people, when they start getting into angels and they want to start looking for angels more than they want to look to God or look for God. In fact, in the book of Colossians, Paul condemned the fact that some people in the church were giving themselves over to angel worship. They literally had begun to worship angels above worshiping God, or trying to worship angels along with God. You have to understand first that angels are not to be worshiped. They are servants of God that come to assist us. They're not meant to be worshiped. In fact, any time in the Bible that an angel showed up, it freaked people out just like it would freak you out. Don't act like, yeah, if an angel showed up in my backyard, I'd just be like, yo, what's up, man? What's God got to say? You would fall down on the ground and you'd be like, what is happening right now, right? And that's what happened in the Bible. And like I said last week, so many times we take humanity out of the Bible and we forget that they were people just like us. And when some angel showed up, they were like, they just fell on the ground. You know what the angel said almost every single time? Stand up, do not worship me. They gave that command. First, they would say, do not fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. And then they would say, get up, because I'm not here to be worshiped. So we have to be careful that we don't, and I think that that's why the church doesn't put much emphasis on angels, is because it's very easy to get carried away with angels and be like, I want to see an angel. I want to see an angel. I want to see an angel. It's kind of like this. We sang earlier that we're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. Do you know that the Bible says signs, wonders, and miracles will follow us? We don't have to chase after them. But I think that there's a lot of churches that have built all of their theology on, let's chase signs, let's chase wonders, let's chase miracles. If you chase after Jesus, you pursue love, and you desire spiritual gifts, listen, you will see signs, wonders, and miracles, because that's what he does, not what we're trying to make happen. And it's the same with angels. I'm not going around looking for angels, but I believe that angels should show up, because according to Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12, he says, things which angels desire to look into. So if we don't have angelic visitation, maybe it's because we're not doing things that angels want to be a part of. So we have to make sure that we're living a life that is set apart to God, and we don't get so caught up in all. It's like other people, some people get so caught up in the book of Revelations, right? And it's in there. I believe it. I believe every single word. I believe it's going to happen. I believe some of it is already happening. But there's some people, they're like, if you don't preach Revelations in your Bible, then you're not, you don't have a real church, right? Listen, there is so much in the Word of God that teaches us about being godly and loving and kind and having the fruit of the Spirit. But then some people just get so caught up in this stuff that they forget to be loving and they forget to be kind and they forget to be generous and they forget to forgive, right? So we need to make sure that we are balanced and we understand angels are real and they should be in our life, but we're not going to worship them and we're not going to be seeking after them. We're seeking God and His kingdom first. Amen? So it says of Jesus that He was seen by angels. Now the word angel in the Greek literally means messenger or delegate. Now, it's interesting that when the scriptures were translated from the original text to English, there was no word for angel. They created the word angel for this specific word that was in the Bible. We didn't already have the word angel until the Bible was translated from the original text into English, and they decided, let's make this word angel, and that's where it came from. And here, there's different kinds of angels. Let me explain to you. There are heavenly angels, and there are earthly angels. Here's what I mean by that. Earthly angels are simply men and women of God that are used by God to deliver messages from Him or act as a delegate on His behalf to establish and carry out kingdom business. Now, you may say, what do you mean an angel? Like I said, angel literally just means messenger. So in the Bible, there will say the angel of the Lord or an angel from the Lord. But if you go to the book of Revelation, when Jesus is talking to John, he says, and to the angel of the church of Sardis, of Philadelphia, of Laodicea. When he says angel, he's talking about the pastor of that church. He's talking about the man or woman of God that is in that position, that is a messenger to that people of God to hear from God and speak to the people of God on behalf of God and serve as a delegate to carry out kingdom business. So there are earthly angels. However, there are also heavenly angels that we read about throughout the Bible, and we have no record of their creation, but we do know that one third of them, when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, one third of them went with Satan and they became his minions, his demons, and they serve him. But two thirds of angels are still in heaven at the service of God. And these angels are heavenly. They're celestial in their nature. They're used by God to carry out messages, to perform tasks throughout the Bible and still today. Angels are not just something that God used in the Bible and He doesn't use anymore. He still uses angels today. And Paul, this is interesting to me, that Paul, when writing this hymn by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this credence, he thought it necessary to include the importance of angels in his hymn of doctrine. He didn't have to put them in there, but he did. So it means that it's important. And he said, I want you to sing about this in the church, that angels literally beheld Jesus as the Son of God. Now that word seen by angels, it does mean to behold, but it also means, and most scholars would argue that this is what Paul was literally implying to, is it means to attend to assist, to help, to serve. So the apostle is saying that it's not just that they saw Jesus, because that was already taken care of in the first line of the stanza that says he was manifested in the flesh. If you're manifested, that means that you're uncovered. You are made to be seen. So obviously they saw him. So why would he repeat again on the third line that he was seen by them when they'd already made it pretty obvious that he was seen in the first line? He's saying he was assisted by angels. He was attended to by angels. Why is this important? Why should we understand that there was angelic assistance in the life of Jesus? We see this in the life of Jesus, that angels were heavily involved in the life of Jesus. They were there in the story of his birth. It was an angel that showed up to Mary and said, you're going to conceive and you're going to bear a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. That was angelic assistance. The angel was necessary in getting the message to Mary that she would know that she is going to to conceive and bear a son, and his name's going to be Jesus. He also, the angel showed up to Joseph in a dream to show him, hey, Mary ain't running around on you. She really did get impregnated by the Holy Spirit. So an angel showed up there. What happened when Jesus was born in Bethlehem and there were shepherds out in the field? Angels showed up and they said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And they told them, he told the shepherds to go and find him, right? So there's angelic assistance there. And then after Jesus is baptized in water, filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God drives him into the wilderness. Satan comes and tempts him 3 different times. Jesus passes each and every test. And the Bible says in Matthew and in the book of Luke that at that time, after Jesus had resisted temptation, not eaten for 40 days, not drank anything for 40 nights, angels came and ministered to him. That word minister means to serve. It's a Greek word where we get our word deacon, and it means to stir up the dust by active movement, meaning that they were literally working around Jesus to strengthen him for the ministry that he was about to perform. And then the next time that we find angelic assistance is when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane in the worst hour of his life. The Bible says that an angel showed up and strengthened him in that moment. And then the next time that we find out about angels is when the tomb has been opened and the stone has been rolled away, and there's an angel sitting there that had performed that task in allowing Jesus to walk out of that tomb, that he'd been revived by the Spirit of God. So angels were heavily, heavily a part of Jesus' life. They served him and strengthened him. Now, what is my point in all that? Why am I telling you that? Because this is not just a storybook, it's a manual. It's not just a manuscript that you read and go, oh, cool story. Jesus had angel help. No, it's something that you read and go, oh, if Jesus, who's God in the flesh, needed angelic assistance, how much more does my life need angelic assistance? How much could my life benefit from an angel showing up and strengthening me when I feel weak? Because we're all going to have a Garden of Gethsemane in our life that we don't know if we can do what it is that God is asking us to do. And we're wondering, we're saying, God, I wish that you would take this cup from me. I don't want to have this conversation. I don't want to make this decision. I don't want to lay this down. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And in that moment, I believe that God can send an angel to strengthen you. You might not see them with your physical eyes, but I believe that there is, all of us, there's been times we wanted to give up. And if not for an angel showing up and strengthening us, we probably wouldn't be sitting here today. So if Jesus needed an angel, how much more do we need it? And I want you to know today that God has given angels charge to assist you, strengthen you, and protect you in your life. I want to show you this because if it's in the Bible, it's real. That's right. And it still happens today. Okay, angels are real, and their mandate to assist God's people is real. And I want to tell you a few stories of when I've seen it happen with my own eyes, right? Because you can say, oh, you can tell me all this stuff. But like Paul said at the beginning of this, he said, without controversy or without argument, or it is a certain thing that we all know this actually happened. Why? Because we saw it with our own eyes. I want to tell you what I've seen with my own eyes. When I was a child, I was probably 12 or 13 years old. My family was going to do street ministry, much like the team that just went to Chicago this week from the church to share the gospel on the streets. And we were driving down the road, and we were in an RV. We were in a big old RV. And there was a gentleman that he was a part of the ministry that my dad was leading at the time. His name was Mark Stevens, and he was such a cool guy. He had a ponytail, and it was white, and it came down about halfway down his back. And he was I just thought he was the coolest old guy you could ever imagine. Mark Stevens, he was our driver, and he's driving that RV. And my sister Micah, who is now in her 20s and a mother of 2 and 1 on the way, at that time, she was a young child. She was probably about my daughter Zoe's age, about 3 years old. And she was crawling around in the RV, and she's having fun. Well, somehow she got in the front seat of the RV. We were going 75 miles an hour down the interstate. Don't judge us. You probably go faster. And she opened the door with no child locks on it, and the door swung open, and she began to fly out of that RV. Now, I was sitting, if you're familiar with RVs, if the driver's seat's here and the passenger seat's here, there's usually a little sofa right here, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm sitting on the sofa, so I have a clear view of the passenger side door. And I remember, even at a young age, knowing my sister's dying right now. She's flying out this window, and I'll never see her again. And I don't want to, like, I remember freaking out. And I remember in that moment, my dad was sitting next to me, and he shouted, Jesus. Now, when he shouted Jesus, Mark reached over, grabbed her by the ankle, pulled her back inside of the RV. Okay? So, we pulled over. Everyone was freaking out. We pulled over. Mark sat in the driver's seat. She literally was halfway out the door. He grabbed the steering wheel. He reached his arm over, and he could barely reach the edge of the seat. Barely. I mean, he, and even if he lunged further, he could only make it halfway over the seat. And we never swerved off the road. He just kept going straight. I have no doubt in my mind that there was angelic assistance in that moment, pushing her back into that RV where he could reach her and he could pull her back in. And you may say, oh, you got it wrong. Listen, I was sitting here. My dad was sitting here. Mark could tell you the story today, and all of our stories would line up exactly the same because we saw it happen. There was angelic assistance in that moment. I believe in the fact that God sends angels to help us. You've probably got stories like this, and there's probably some stories that you didn't even realize it was an angel, but it was an angel. Maybe you thought it was just some random stranger helping you on the street. Don't forget what the book of Hebrews says. Don't forget to entertain strangers, for some in doing so have entertained angels unaware. Okay? Now, in the book of Acts chapter 12, there's a story where Peter, he's been preaching the gospel. James has already been beheaded because of the gospel. Peter is now imprisoned by an evil king by the name of Herod. And while he's in prison, the Bible says that the church made prayer for him without ceasing. Here's one thing I want you to get in your life. If you want angelic assistance in your life, I believe that prayer is key to having angelic assistance. That as we pray to God, God sends forth and he commissions angels to go and to give charge over us. So one reason you might not be seeing angels in your life is you're not praying. See, the church was praying when Peter was in prison. And while Peter's in prison, there's four squads over him. He's chained to a wall. He's laying down. He's sleeping in this prison. And all of a sudden, he gets kicked in the side. No doubt, Peter thought that it was one of the bored soldiers. He's like, I ain't got nothing else to do, so I'm going to go kick the prisoner, right? But when Peter wakes up, it's not a soldier. It's an angel. And the angel says, get up. It's time to go. Peter gets up. The chains fall off of his arms, and he begins to walk. All the guards are laying out. They walk down the corridor. And when they get to the gate, the iron gate opens on its own accord, just swings open. And the angel gives them a message, and Peter goes to the church where people are still making prayer for him. He was set free by angelic assistance. Now, here's what I want you to see, though. In Acts chapter 12, the Bible says this. This is literally what it says. Peter didn't know that what was happening to him was real. Go read it in Acts chapter 12. He literally did not know that what was happening to him was real, but it was. Yeah. He thought it was a vision. He thought it was a dream. But what was happening was actually real, and the angel was there. Either we believe the Bible or we don't. God will send angelic assistance into your life to help you in time of need. I'm sure there have been times that they've been there and you didn't even know it. We were unaware of it. Maybe it was a stranger that we met on the street. Maybe we never even saw them and they were invisible and they did something to help out. But let me tell you this, I'm sure that he has helped us more times than we can possibly count through angelic assistance. And sometimes we didn't even know that it was real. I bet there, do you realize that maybe sometimes, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I remember another time in my life when I was about 6 years old, my dad was going to New Orleans to do street ministry. And I remember I had a dream and I could see the church van. I knew exactly what it looked like. I could see the church van driving down the road and I could see angels all the way around the church van. I could literally see with my eyes angels, but it was in a dream. So I want to show you how can angels assist you, okay? How can they assist you? Number one, they can carry messages from heaven, okay? They can show up and give a word. Joseph, remember, was visited in a dream, and the angel told him, don't worry, Mary is pregnant with Jesus, and he really is the Son of God. There was another time when Herod was going to try to kill Jesus, and an angel showed up and said, you need to wake up your family, and you need to go to Egypt, and you need to stay there until this king dies. That was a message from heaven, okay? Have you ever considered that the dreams that you have, that you don't know what they mean, might actually be angels showing up and talking to you in your dreams? I don't know why I had this dream. It didn't make any sense. Because God sent an angel to give you a message from heaven to help you understand what it is that you need to do. Okay? Manoah and Samson's mother. Samson's mother was out in a field, and all of a sudden an angel showed up. And he said, look, you're going to get pregnant, and you're going to have a son, and he's going to be a deliverer of Israel. He showed up with a message from heaven for them. This is not exhaustive. This is just a few more. John the Baptist. Father, Zacharias, he was in the temple offering incense, performing his duties. An angel shows up and says, your wife, who's barren, is going to bear a son. And he's going to be, you know, he's going to prepare the way for the Lord. It was made known to Mary that she would be the mother of Jesus by Gabriel getting word. Daniel had angels come and give him words. Paul, the Bible says in the book of Acts that when Paul was trying to get to Rome, that their ship had shipwrecked and an angel showed up to Paul and said, do not fear, you are going to get to Rome. He got a word from the Lord by an angel. Listen, angels can carry messages from heaven. If you don't know what to do, which way to go, trust me, God can and will send an angel to you to give you a word from the Lord, okay? All right, number two, here's another way that angels can assist you. So number one is they can carry messages from heaven. Number two, this isn't how angels can, just how angels can assist you. These are, this is what angels do, what their job is. Number two, protection. The book of Psalm chapter 91 verse 11 says, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. That word to keep, that phrase to keep you in Hebrew means to watch over you. That means to preserve you. And it literally means this, to hedge about you. I don't know about you, but I want a hedge around my house. I want a hedge around my vehicle. I want a hedge around my body. I want a hedge around my family. I want that angelic assistance. And it makes me think of Job. When Satan went up into heaven and he talked to God, God said, hey, you seen my guy Job down there? He's killing it, isn't he? And Satan was like, yeah, he's killing it because you've got a hedge of protection around him. I believe that there was a hedge. And because, listen, the devil, well, even when we can't see spiritual things, I believe that the enemy can. And the enemy could see there's angels posted all around Job's place. I can't even get in there. I can't even get to the guy. Could you imagine that your house, that when the enemy tried to show up, he said, retreat, boys, because they've got angels guarding the place. There's angels all around. Or when the enemy tries to send an assignment to take you out by a car accident, he shows up and like that church van, there's angels all around it, and he can't get to your vehicle because angels are sent to protect you. And you may never even see it. You may never even know it. There's another story in the book of 2 Kings where Elisha the prophet, he's literally telling the king of Israel what the Syrians are doing and where they're going to be. Oh, they're going over here now. And the king gets so frustrated, he says, I've got a mole. And they say, no, you don't have a mole. There's a man of God in Israel. And he literally, it's like he's in the king's bedroom. He knows his plans. He knows what he's doing. So anyways, fast forward in the story, the king sends all these Syrians to capture Elijah, the man of God. And Elisha, excuse me, the man of God. And Elisha's servant is nervous because they're surrounded by all these Syrians. And he goes, my father, what are we going to do? And Elisha prays and he says, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. The young man opens his eyes, he looks around. There's chariots and horses of fire encircled all around those Syrians. So that's where we get the song, it may look like I'm surrounded, but really I'm surrounded by you. So even if the enemy tries to get close to you, you realize, well, he can just keep coming because he's going to be surrounded by angels. And so they're struck with blindness and Elisha leads them to the city. Long story short, they get delivered. Why? Angelic assistance. Protection. Hedge about. To keep over. Psalm 34 verse 7. I'll give you another verse. Says this. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Okay? Listen, it's amazing that we'll read these scriptures and we'll be like, that's good. I'm going to underline that. But then we don't live with the awareness that there's angels camped around my house. Why? Because I fear God, and he's protecting me, and he's keeping me. Here's another thing that angels do, and this will scare you if you're not walking in the fear of God. They carry out vengeance. Yeah. And you say, oh, that's an Old Testament thing. You know, no, it's not. It's in the New Testament, too. I'm going to show it to you. One, it's in the book of Revelation. I know I've referenced that a lot, but so I'm going to show you just in what we would call everyday life. Because remember in Acts chapter 12, Peter had been set free by angelic assistance. That's not the only time an angel is mentioned in that chapter. As you keep reading, Herod comes out and people begin to call out to Herod and say, he's a god, he's a god, he's a god. And the Bible says that because Herod did not confront them and did not correct them, an angel of the Lord stood by Herod, struck him with a blow, and he was eaten by worms in that instant. So you may say, oh, well, God only destroyed cities in the Old Testament. He only destroyed people in the Old Testament. No, that's in the book of Acts. After the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That is in the day and age that was ushered in that you and I say that we're living in, where sons and daughters prophesy and old men dream dreams and young men see visions. So you see, you may think that oh, they just died because that was bad luck. Maybe an angel was commissioned by God to strike that person down. It's in the Bible. I mean, either we believe it or we don't. Okay, so they carry out vengeance on evil people and evil cities in the Bible. Okay, number four. Here's the last one. I'm coming to a landing. They minister to and strengthen God's people. When Elijah had fought in a spiritual sense against the prophets, the false prophets, excuse me, of Baal, and killed 400 something of them, Jezebel sends him a message. And she says, so be it to me if by this time tomorrow you're not a dead man. Elijah gets scared, and he begins to run, and he leaves his servant and goes another day's journey into the wilderness, sits under a broom tree and says, well, God, I think I'll just die, right? Don't act like you've never acted like Elijah before. Again, oh my goodness, Elijah, what a weakling, right? No, we've all been there before. You know what God did? God didn't go, you sorry, good for nothing, prophet. I shouldn't have trusted you. He sent an angel. Yeah. Why? Because he knew. The angel said to him, he said, you need to rise, you need to eat, because the journey's too great for you. But after the angelic assistant showed up, Elijah went in the strength of that food for 40 days and for 40 nights. Why? Because of angelic assistance. You see, without the angelic assistance, the commission was too great for Elijah. He couldn't do it on his own. There are things that God is going to call you to do that you can't do in your own strength. You can't do it in your own. But when he sends angelic assistance from heaven, he says, arise, eat, and drink, because it's too great for you. But you to get that strength of that angelic assistance, and you're encouraged and you're built up, you can do what was impossible to do before. It's also in the life of Jesus. When Jesus was in the wilderness, the angels came, I mentioned it earlier, and they strengthened him. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, how much more do we need to be strengthened by angels if Jesus needed that strength from angels? Amen? Here's what it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. It says, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Verse 14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? I want you to see this. Angels are literally commissioned by God to help those that are being saved, to help those that are part of the kingdom of God. Are they not all ministering spirits who go forth to minister to those who inherit salvation? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. And I want to remind you of this. Hebrews 13, 2. I mentioned it earlier, but I want to read you the passage of scripture, and I want you to meditate on this week. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitalities to angels without knowing it. That's one reason, other than just the fact that the love of God is inside of us and we should be loving to everyone. But don't forget that every single person you come in contact with, no matter what they look like. I remember one time we were on a missions trip and we encountered a gentleman that he was a homeless man, but it turned out he was an angel. And we encountered this man. Don't judge a book by its cover. God will send people into your life and you don't even realize it. They're helping you and you think you're helping them. And they're protecting you. I remember one time we were coming home from a trip when I was in ministry school, and we ministered to this guy that was outside of a gas station, and we bought him some food, and we talked with him for a while. And as he began to talk, we began to realize this guy knows more about the Lord than we maybe we do, or maybe we think that we know. And we went and we got back in the van, and someone was like, I want to say one more thing to him. We turned around, and the guy was gone. I'm talking, we walked from here to that pole, turned around, guy was gone, and he had stuff sitting all around him when we left him. So you can say, oh, he ran around the back of the gas station. Believe that if you want. I know for a fact that I encountered an angel in that moment. Entertain strangers, because by doing so, you may be showing hospitality to angels, okay? So here's what I want to encourage you with. Expect angelic encounters and look for them, but always remember they're not to be worshipped, and it's not something that we should seek after. It's something that we should expect. There's a difference in looking for something and expecting something. I'm expecting angels, but I'm not like, is there an angel behind that door? I'm going to go in there. I'm going to see if it's like Narnia in there, right? No, I'm believing that God's going to send angelic assistance. Even if I never see it with my natural eyes, I know in my spirit that he is protecting my home, my family, this church, your life, because they are sent by God to inform us. They're sent by God to help us. They're sent by God to protect us. They're sent by God to assist us, just as Jesus was assisted in his ministry. So stand to your feet with me this morning. I want to pray over you today that God would give his angels charge over you. But I want to remind you of one thing. As you stand, I want to read this over you. Psalm chapter 91, because that's where it says he will give his charge over you and they will keep you. To keep you in all your ways. But listen to this. It says, in their hands, speaking of angels, they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread on the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Listen, you may say, I don't face any lions. Oh, yes, you do, every single day. They may not be physical lions, but they face you. They face you at work. They face you when you watch the TV, because the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You encounter that spirit every single day, and you need the angels to lift you up, lest when you encounter that lion, you're overcome by them. Because he has set his love upon me, God says, therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him. I will show him my salvation. But I want to give you one key to this. If you expect that kind of assistance in your life, because how many would not want an angel protecting you? I mean, they are powerful, powerful beings, right? God set one in the very beginning at Genesis when Adam and Eve were put out of the garden. He set an angel with a sword and it moved every single way. When Balaam was trying to go and curse God's people, he put an angel in his path. And at first, he couldn't see the angel, but the donkey could see the angel. Listen, it's something that we would all want, but there's a key in this. Psalm 91. This promise is for those who dwell in the secret place. This promise is for those that have set their love upon God. So don't walk out of this place expecting, well, I got angels around my van, if you're not living in the secret place and if you're not setting your love upon God. Because this is a promise that comes conditionally for those that put their trust in God. Remember what it says in the book of Psalm chapter 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him. He delivers those who put their trust in him. So here's what I want you to do today with every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you to make a fresh commitment to God, saying, I want to live in the secret place. I want to set my love on you. I trust you. I fear you. I look to you, God, because I need the assistance that you send by angels in my life, God. I can't do it on my own. Just like Elijah, the journey is too great for the men and women of God that are here today. Even though you have blessed us in so many ways, we're still not able to perform what it is that you have for us unless you send angels from heaven, just like you sent them to minister to Jesus and to strengthen him and to renew him. Lord, I pray for the one that is at their wit's end and they feel like, I don't think I'd take another step. I don't think I can go another day. I don't think I can make it anymore. Maybe I should end it all. Maybe I should just quit. Maybe I should just give up. Lord, I pray today that fresh commitment to get in the secret place and to set their love on you and to fear you and to trust you and to know, if God be for me, who can be against me? I pray that you would open their eyes today to see that those that are for us are greater than those that are against us. There are things that are coming against you in your life that you feel like It's it's a plan of the enemy that he's trying to fire his darts at you. I pray that the angels of heaven, the God of angel armies, would thwart the plan of the enemy over your life. I rebuke any assignment of death over your life that is commissioned to you to take you out. I speak angels guard around your car. Angels guard around your truck. Angels guard around your home. Angels around your children. Angels around your mind. Angels around your finances, because I believe that God is sending them to assist and to protect and to keep back and to encourage and strengthen when we feel like we are weak. So God, I'm asking that you would help us to entertain strangers unaware, not knowing that maybe we're entertaining angels. And Lord, we welcome divine protection that comes from you. We welcome dreams and visions in the night of angels saying, don't you get attached to that person because they're trouble. Don't you put your hope here. Don't you put your finances there. Don't you put your stakes down here, because we need words from you. And I thank you that you're so gracious and so loving that you would send an angel to strengthen us, to renew us when we feel weak. God, even when we feel like quitting, I thank you that you don't quit on us. But like Elijah, you'll send an angel to strengthen us. Lord, I pray strength to the weary today. If you're weary today, I feel like God wants to strengthen you today. If you're weary, without being ashamed, would you just lift your hand? You say, I just feel weary. I just feel tired. Maybe it's in your mind. Maybe it's in your body. In fact, why don't you just respond to the front today? I just want to pray with you. If you feel weary, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. If you raised your hand, come on up here. I just want to pray over you. I feel like there's another group of people that God wants to minister to as well. It's not just those who are weary, but for those that feel like you've lost the secret place. And you think, well, no wonder I'm not seeing angels in my life. I hadn't been in the secret place. I believe that God is calling you back to the secret place today. That place, you say, what is the secret place? I'll tell you what the secret place is. The secret place is where you meet with God one-on-one. Nobody else. Not, listen, coming to church is great. Don't forsake it. Don't stop. But you need to find a secret place. You need to find a place where you can meet with God, where it's just you and him. And I feel like he's calling and wooing some people back to the secret place, because you're like, why? Okay, that's making sense. That's why my finances are attacked. That's why my health is attacked. That's why my happiness is attacked, because there hasn't been that angelic assistance around your life. God is calling you back to the secret place, like we were singing earlier, where you're caught up in his presence. And you don't want anything but just to sit at the feet of Jesus. God's calling you from being a Martha back to being a Mary today. And just receive that. Just say, God, I want to be in the secret place. But Lord, I pray for these that have responded saying that they feel weary. Lord, I thank you that you will bear us up. I thank you that you are strong when we are weak. I thank you that you are kind even when we don't deserve kindness. And Lord, I pray right now, angelic assistance. Lord, I pray that they would hear the voice that would say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Lord, I thank you that you are strong enough to carry our burdens. And that's why you say, cast your cares upon me, because I care for you. I thank you that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And I pray that there would be a transferring of yoke today in Jesus' name, from the yoke and burden that the world tries to put on us, that worry tries to put on us, that insecurity tries to put on us. And I break it right now in the name of Jesus. And I say, take upon you the yoke of Jesus that is easy and that is light. I thank you that you comfort the brokenhearted, Lord. And I'm praying right now, angelic assistance. Lord, I pray right now over Mark. And I pray that you would open his eyes to see, like the young man's eyes were open to see, that those that are for him are greater than those that are against him. Lord, I pray that he would leave here today strengthened in the Lord, with his heart lifted up, knowing, because I trust in God, the angel of the Lord is encamped all around me, and the enemy can't get to me because the angel of the Lord is protecting me, God. Lord, I pray for Amanda, and I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in her life. And Lord, I pray right now that the weariness would be gone. I pray that she would drink of the fountain that never runs dry, and she would know that she will never thirst again, because in you all thirst is satisfied. The insatiable thirst that's put inside of every man can only and woman can only be fulfilled by the wonderful, wonderful man, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you strengthen and that you uphold. I'm just going to allow anyone that's in the altar, you stay right here. We're going to continue to pray with you and pray for you. But for those of you that are still here today, that are out in your seats, I just want to speak a blessing over you. And I want to remind you, if you'd like to be a part of Starting Point, you can sign up in the back or Trail of Treats. I'm so excited about everything that the Lord is doing in this place and in hearts. But I just want to, would you just lift your hands and receive this blessing today? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace, and may he smile all over you. And may he give his angels, as I know he will, because he said it in his word, charge over you as you abide in the secret place, and as you set your love on him, and as you continue to make prayers abundantly. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's something on that, again, I just want to say, the making of prayers, often, like in Acts chapter 12, when the church was praying and there was angelic assistance for Peter, the Lord just reminded me that earlier in the book of Acts, Peter was on the housetop of Simon the Tanner, and there was a man by the name of Cornelius, and he offered continual prayers and alms to God, and an angel visited him. I believe that one key to having angelic assistance in your life is continual prayer. Pray and pray again. Pray every day. Pray when you're driving down the road. Pray when you're shopping in the grocery store. Pray when you're alone. Pray when you're with people. We have a constant communication with the Father that we leave void so many times. So pray. And I believe that as you pray, he's going to release angelic assistance in your life. Be blessed today. Go with God. We love you so much.